The all-new Peugeot Partner Van, voted Van of the Year by Van Fleet World and International Van of the Year 2019. With so many awards, we're going to need a bigger van. To celebrate, visit your local dealer this March and test drive the professional partner and the even bigger expert and boxer at the Peugeot Van event. And with 0% APR for 2 years, that's definitely something to celebrate. Peugeot Motor Company PLC is a credit broker, not a lender. We'll introduce you to PSA Finance UK Limited, the finance provider. Conditions sale. Business users only. T's and C's apply. 18 plus finance update status. 20% deposit required.
Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. And I've got a special guest with me today. His name is Jim Bob. And I discovered him on Instagram, of all places. Like I always say, my favorite social network. Don't at me, especially not on Twitter or Facebook because they suck. But I found what a perfect medium to find this artist and cartoonist. He's a satirical cartoonist. He's got a new book out, Savage Memes. Oh, what a great name, Volume 1. Jim Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, Austin.
Yeah, man. I'm really delighted to have you here because obviously I think people should check out your book. I'm definitely getting it. You can find that at madebyjimbob.com. Pretty easy. I guess you got a code there, Liberty, for free shipping, but we'll talk about the details later. I just kind of want to introduce them because my first question, I guess, is this. You know, you make some funny cartoons. Man, I'm cracking up. Every time I see them, it's always a treat in my Instagram feed because you seem to get it. But I when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is a crazy man. And I was like, but oh, I think he's crazy like I'm crazy. So can you just kind of like describe for me sort of your like overall general philosophy? Like, would you consider yourself conservative? Like, how do you kind of like categorize yourself if you had to?
I'm definitely a little crazy, but let me tell you a little history. I lived in Los Angeles for 15 years. I worked in some TV. I learned a craft. I did some stand-up comedy. And then when the election came around with a family of libertarians who lean conservative, they really, you know, hit me hard when I would come at them with some utopian ideals. And so it kind of stuck with me. But during that election specifically, I started to finally see some inconsistencies with my own thinking and behavior. I saw that I wasn't willing to behave the way I was asking an entire country to behave through force.
Right.
And so from there, I had a child and I was like, LA is not the place for me. So I moved to Colorado. And from there, you know, I started doing cartoons in LA, and I sort of was dabbling in the liberal side because I was still kind of like grasping onto the last thread of that thinking. And so as I came here, I started seeing that I wasn't really being honest. And then I started being honest. And once I started being honest, I started getting hate from some peers from LA. People online started attacking my work. And then I realized I was onto something.
That's right. Yeah. It's like fire kindling. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Well, I look at it like when a plane's taking off, they need the air resistance to go up in the air.
Yep.
So that's why I never hate my haters, is because they're doing
haters pay your bills. Yes.
Exactly.
But you know what? And the thing is like your cartoons, like they obviously are poking fun at so many of the liberal tropes where, you know, like the general basic liberal trope is now that they're preaching this open-mindedness while actually engaging in very fascistic behavior, like punching people on college campuses. Just punch a Nazi. You know, everybody who's a Trump supporter is a Nazi. You're wearing a red hat, so you're KKK. It's a new, you know, and they're destroying the lives of these children, these Covington Catholic kids, and yeah. Yet they're saying that they're the tolerant ones. It's like we are living in sort of a dystopia. You know what I mean? In a strange way,
it's upside down because I consider myself, you know, to the question. It's like I identify with classical liberalism. Individuality, you know, protected individual rights, you know, non-aggression, all of those principles that I could actually live next to, and I can behave that way. So I, and then I, so from having a family, I starting to have some more conservative, you know, ideals, how to raise my kids. And, you know, some would argue like, you can't prove those are conservative, but I mean, that's what you call them.
Well, I want to kind of get inside your brain here. So like, I've got a few of your comics here. One of them, which I think is pretty good. You've got Stephen Colbert and he's saying, hi, I'm Seth Meyers. No, wait, Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, Stephen Colbert. Ah, hell, the DNC, right? Like, you're sort of calling, in some ways, you're kind of alluding to the NPC meme where these, it's like all of these late night talk show hosts are just all, like, they're programmed. Like, yeah, they're all spouting the same thing. Like, Stephen Colbert is interchangeable with Jimmy Kimmel or Seth Meyers, right? And then they're all really just mouthpieces for the DNC. It's like they're programmed.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the light version of it, which it needs to be light in order to be digested in a funny way. Mm-hmm. But underneath that, I think it's even worse than that. I think it really is like a, I wouldn't call it a conspiracy. It's more like these people who have influence get tapped and they're like, hey, you want to really help the greater good? And they have these conversations and they schmooze and they start pushing ideas that they actually think are for the greater good. They're fighting a bigger cause. And in practice, it does very much look like programming and NPC kind of thing. But I actually think some of them believe what they're saying. They really think they're doing a service, that mm-hmm. they're fighting against evil. And it's very like comic book esque.
It's strange because it sort of feeds into like, I guess, a hero complex on the right, which I guess like partially I feel like maybe I'm caught up in, because for example, you know, let's talk Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right? She floats her Green New Deal. I saw that the co-founder of Greenpeace had taken her to the woodshed over, yeah, you know, how are you going to feed 80 million people? How are you going to feed all these people when you can't heat their homes? I mean, Donald Trump nailed it too the other day in sort of a broken down way when he says, oh honey, is the wind blowing today? I'd like to watch television. You know, like, you know, how are we possibly going to replace all these fossil fuels? I mean, you talk about utopian, you know, that's, yeah, utopian. If anything, I feel like we're the steely-eyed realists, but then it's kind of like, you know, in some ways I get caught up in this Man of Steel thing because now socialism has reared its ugly head. Like, I feel like, yeah, I need to grab up the cudgel and go to war because all those Don Quixotes tilting at windmills, or actually trying to make windmills instead of fossil fuels, right? Yeah. They're on a fruitless quest to try and overturn our economy, destroy our marketplace, and to instill what I believe to be a socialistic regime.
Yeah, well, it is that. It's hard to tell. I almost feel like there are politicians that push policies that are a little more realistic, but they try to push a little further, and they know that it's going to be met with something. And then I think there might be running this other program to just see what they can get away with and what people are willing to believe is possible. You know, like,
Art of the deal. That's very Trumpish. Ask for more than you think that you can get, because,
it also makes other future candidates look more sane. So if you make something really crazy and prop them up, even if the woman has no idea it's happening, it's quite easy to create a comparison where people in the middle are like, well, I'm leaning left, but she's too crazy, so I'm going to go with this other person. And I feel like there's a lot of that happens that we can't really pinpoint and or prove, but I know it. I mean, I've seen it on the other side where they were in the emails that were leaked, they were saying like, you know, push up Trump and push up more of the crazy character so it looks a little insane, but it backfired. So I don't want that to happen with this person.
One of the things that we've been sort of dealing with now in culture, in the culture wars, is the concept of identity politics. Mm-hmm. Identity politics is, you know, mostly the domain of the left, although the right does engage in it at times, right? Tokenism is one of the concepts that comes out of identity politics, right? You got token black man, token Asian man, token gay man, token white man, you know, who's generally portrayed as the racist, right, or the destroyer of his capitalist economy. And so this culture now of identity politics, it breeds a special sort of narcissism and what I would call a malignant form of collectivism by putting all these people into groups and virtually guaranteeing that we're going to be just at each other's throats, while who I believe are the elites who are manipulating things and doing so openly are sort of laughing and sitting back. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist so much, but like, it's quite obvious that, like, and I know a lot of very, very powerful people, quite obvious they love seeing this stuff because they know that it keeps us common men and women at each other's throats over these bullshit issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I don't think it's too far to say that it's purposeful. I mean, there's a man you could look up named Yuri Bezmenov who goes into detail how the Soviet Union did that on purpose. They had active measures on how to subvert American idealism and culture and economics. And this is all just lingering. So even if it wasn't so purposeful, it's just a lingering thinking that gets activated in higher education, and then they graduate and become these drones who kind of push this stuff. But the good news is that they're losing, and I try not to get caught too much in that, because it's really fun to like destroy identity politics in any kind of creative form. But I always remind myself that that's really not the majority of Americans. I think the fight is really like people who want liberty versus people who want to expand government. And they try to splinter it and all this other stuff, and it gets like really hacked up online. But in person, you can kind of, it gets narrowed down to a lot less in person. And that's the difference between online and in person. You can talk to anyone in person, and a lot of that stuff's not going to come up the same way it does online. So that's
So, Jin Boab, obviously we've seen the rise of the social justice warriors. I mean, I think that there has been a giant reaction on the right, where you've had people like Jordan Peterson come to fame and popularity because of a sort of a pushback, a cultural pushback, I believe, against what the left has been preaching, which is, you know, a message of tolerance, but wrapped up in the behavior of intolerance. You know, I find just personally, this is something I struggle with, because like, in sort of a way, I feel culturally in both camps of conservatism and liberalism, right? I have some very conservative instincts and I have some very liberal instincts. And like but the demonizing on the left is outrageous. You know, when I hang with conservatives, yeah, sometimes I do hear some racist shit and I'm just like, I don't believe that old man or old woman or whoever it is. But when I'm with my liberal friends, like, their bigotry is off the charts. Anyways, but I could go on and on, and I'd really like to kind of talk a little bit more about your cartoons. I mean, you must be seeing, I mean, you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of likes on Instagram. Are you like getting any interesting offers? I mean, other like your book, like, I know you're just out there now for what, pre-orders, but I mean, like, have you been getting phone calls from agents, from people saying, hey, come back to LA or go to New York or DC?
Yeah, not quite yet. Some people who I've known before I started all this reached out, potentially write a TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I would not be surprised, bro. Somebody listens to this podcast and is like, I got to talk to Made by Jin Boab, because honestly, what you got, man, is really hot. You got some, you're really onto something here.
Yeah, thank you. It'll all come at me, and,
shoot, you got more Instagram followers than I do, dude. Nice.
Well, it keeps going, and people enjoy it and they share it, and I'm always creating. I think I proliferate a lot of work because I can draw fast, and these things, a lot of them aren't like, some of them it'll take me a whole day to think of the wording, and a lot of times it happened in reality and I can't believe it. Like, I'm just recording. Like,
right, you're just repeating what somebody said or did, right?
Exactly. And it's just putting it into a format that's easily digestible, as I said, and fun. And that's the thing I wanted to mention about you, is that I followed you for maybe about a year or so. And and I'm like, this guy's a principled man. Like, that's what I see. But beyond that, you make having principles fun. You make it fun. Whereas it's not a, you know, you think of principle. I'm principled. You think of like a,
an old, like a white knight.
Yeah, and it's very stoic and like, but you make it really fun. You're not afraid to voice your extremes. And I think back to the identity politics and stuff. That's what breaks it all down. Is once people are more honest and they're not afraid to say what they think and what they believe, and they say it clearly, it's harder to peg people. And I think a lot more people are realizing that. And the more people that get brutally honest with what they really think, and bypass the fear that might come, that, you know, the ridicule that might come after, I think that's is really what we're all sort of pushing.
Well, just like you, man, just like you, like I feel the pushback from the elites and from some of these assholes who I know, some of these people, man, I've met in real life. Like I'm onto their scams and I'm onto their games. And yeah. Like, honestly, it's kind of like I've always believed in the whole emperor wears no clothes thing. Like I don't mind playing the jester because like you, I know that satire is often the most powerful weapon against tyranny.
Yes. Yeah, and you can't shut it down. People are like, this is a terrible time for comedy. It's actually the best time in a long time for comedy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the stuff that was going on when Richard Pryor was doing his stuff was bad enough. It was a different kind of thing going on, but that's where it spawned from. It's the best time to be honest with your craft. And coming from L.A., that was part of the thing that kind of turned me off. It was like all these people I looked up to, I realized were cowards. And it's like, it's nothing personal. It's just that they just got crammed into a little corner with rules.
Yeah.
And it's just a terrible way to live. And
yeah. So, I'll tell you, I've definitely like suffered setbacks in my career for being principled and for like sticking to my guns, even when like I could have benefited from, you know, taking the payola or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that, I mean, I guess I kind of had a plan early that like if I ever got cut off or that, because it used to be, man, the mainstream media had way more control. They're trying to reassert their control through these social networks. But the mainstream media just cannot control so many of these small publishers. So like when I was working at Fox back in like 2010 or so, I bought the libertarianrepublic.com. I bought my website and I wasn't allowed to do any outside work, start a business or anything like that. But I just, you know, you must speculate to accumulate. And I always thought, you know, there's always a chance, you know, something could happen to me. And imagine if I had an intellectual property, you know, maybe just start it for fun, see how it goes. But it's really developed into its own little universe. Its own little network. I mean, just today I saw that my website like just got blown out with traffic so much that I I'm really going to have to upgrade soon. And, you know, I've got a lot of exciting things on the future. I think, you know, it's sometimes like I think about it, I really wish we had more good, strong advocates for liberty out there. And, you know, I just, why I ran for president, why I ran for Senate, you know, why I'm continuing to push this movement is because I honestly feel called this is really what I should be doing. And I imagine you must feel that same way.
Absolutely. I think, that's what, in a way, everyone else is waiting for permission. So while that is invalid over time, we are essentially doing that. Like that's what there is to do. If anyone feels the same way, you need to start speaking up. You need to start expressing yourself and fighting for that kind of, you know, basically it's liberty. It's liberty versus, you know, government expansion. That's really what's happening. And you can label in all these other ways and you can try to look at a magnifying glass in some places, but really that's kind of what's going on. And that's what we're doing. You gotta giving people permission to say it clearly and loud. And also I see that people are going to start noticing that taking the word like patriotism back, you know, it's kind of been the left and media and Hollywood and over years, maybe 20 plus years, has kind of pushed that word into a shameful corner. Like they bombard you with the worst parts of American history, and they attach it to patriotism. Or
well, patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. So yeah. That's what they say. But the reality is often I find nowadays is that patriotism is actually the first refuge of a scoundrel. That the people right. that are out there, you know, trying to pawn themselves off as patriots are anything but, right? Like listen, I have grounds to, you know, give the president praise. There's a lot of things that I agree with the president on, but I'm not one of those people who just goes along with every single thing that the president wants or says or does. I believe right. in a separation of powers. Yes. So when I see these people, like today I was in a Twitter scuffle with this Sebastian Gorka character, right?
Right.
This guy, you know, fired by the Trump administration, you know, out, he was messing in my primary that I was running in doing payola. It was a total scam. And I can't stand the guy because like, they're just, you know, there are grifters in the movement who are like the type of people who get kicked out of CPAC. And then there's grifters that go and they speak on the main stage. Right. Sure. But principled conservatives, principled libertarians, like, you know, few and far between. Very hard. It's like, you know, these are the times that try men's souls. Right. When the summer soldier and the summershine patriot, right, will shrink from their duty. And like, I can't tell you in the off years, in the last 10 years I've been in activism, like so many people, you know, they fade away, they get discouraged, or they join the establishment and they sell out. I think there's a third way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There is. I think there is, because once you go that route, you know, you're not being honest, and you have to sort of like, it, for me anyway, it's like, I know when I'm not being honest. So, you know, you know when you're bought, and it's not a good feeling. You know what I mean? Or you know when you've been co-opted but and swept away by an ideology that maybe you could fight a little more ruthlessly to get clarity on. And so that's individualism versus collectivism. And it's very natural too. So it's like, I try not to beat myself up or other people get swept away. It's just that it's a natural occurrence. You know, you get in a group, you put aside some other things you don't really believe in or agree with. And then you kind of, you know, people pick a hill to die on.
Yeah, they do. Well, you know, I guess, you know, I can't imagine being like Senator Rand Paul, for example. This is kind of a little bit of breaking news, but being Senator Rand Paul golfing buddies with one of the most powerful men in the world, you know, the president, and then having to tell him, no, I'm not going to go along with your emergency declaration. I'm going to vote against it. You know, I actually just tweeted this at Glenn Beck on Twitter. I said, these people turning on Rand Paul for keeping his oath are total phonies, Glenn Beck. Do you agree? I said, this is not conservatism. And he just tweeted back not 10 seconds ago. He says, yes. So he agrees. I mean, Glenn's kind of an interesting character. You know, he's been kind of all over the place. I mean, I would say sort of like in the same vein as us, though, in some ways, kind of a jester, you know, but also kind of an educator. I you know, I've been mad at Glenn Beck in the past, but I mean, I think ultimately he's on the good guy side. He's on the side of light. And it's just a shame the Tea Party's never really held on to those core principles of, you know, ending stimulus, government spending, and Obamacare, right? So many conservative priorities and libertarian priorities have really been put by the wayside in the age of Trumpism. Not that I don't think that there's some good to come from Trump, but ultimately the real national emergency is the national debt, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's more complex stuff, but I think generally there's a, what did Milton Friedman call it, the tyranny of the status quo that kind of kicks in.
Right. Hillary would have been status quo.
Yeah. Go ahead, say that again.
I said Hillary would have been the status quo, right? Yes, people didn't want that.
No, they didn't want that. But even any government, that's why I don't get too swept up with candidates, no matter how promising or excitable, or, you know, like Trump's exciting because I just like how he bashes the news and calls out stuff and he says things honestly, and he doesn't even have to be right to be true, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like that's the fun, is that it's, you look at it and you're like, that's a human. Like that's not like this like very calculated speaker who sounds perfect. You know, like I voted for Obama twice, and I now, looking back, I voted on based on symbolism. Like I voted based on what I thought someone should sound like. You know what I mean? So But yeah, the tyranny, I mean, is that, like, if I'm a person who's about limited government and power, I can't get too excited about any president because my nature is to say they should be so limited along with a lot of other places in the government that I shouldn't have to worry that much. That's where I would like it to be. I mean, that's not the case, but that's why I just don't get too swept up into personalities or who the person is and what they're doing, because I know that.
I wish I had that luxury. I wish I could sit by a fire and do nothing but read Tolstoy and Solzhenitsyn. But I unfortunately have to do a little bit of the day-to-day, a little bit of the micro, because if I focus too much on the macro, then I can't keep things up to date. But, you know, I had a feeling, just, it's funny how vivid you can project images into people's brains with cartoons and the way that you have sort of articulated your philosophy. And really, I think more than just articulating your own philosophy, I think you're holding up the mirror to culture very effectively, and really just doing the kind of satire that, quite frankly, I think it takes a very rare talent to be able to crystallize it, such as you have done, into single strips. Sometimes I'll see you with four strips, but usually you're able to communicate that in just like two or three sentences in one frame. So I really congratulate you on being able to accomplish that. It's quite a talent.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it is a process for myself and a mirror for myself as well. It's like, it's not like I know my own answers a lot of times. Like, I'm actually digging for myself, you know, where are my principles? What are they? What would I sell out on? You know, like, thinking about these things.
Yeah.
Like, what are the trade-offs that I'm willing to face? And all this stuff is important to think about, because in the end, it's like, what can you practice that you preach? And I think it kind of gets reduced pretty cleanly once you start asking that for yourself. And that's kind of why what drew me to you is that it seems like you do live day to day according to your principles. And
I don't do it like a boring old stoic knight.
Exactly.
Like the what's the meme that goes around on like the white knights? Or like, my lady, you know, like, leave the lady be. I'm not I'm not those kind of libertarian neckbeard types who are kind of like, my principles, I will save us from the dark statist.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's what it is. It's you said it before. This term has come up a lot since I've started doing this stuff, is the jester, is the you know, the scallywag, the you know, the bastard, like the one who's just like willing to say stuff, willing to be uncomfortable, willing to be wrong, just to shake things up a bit. And just, it gives, this is the thing, is it gives other people permission to be human and to be wrong, or to explore what they think and say it. And then people need that freedom, and the more people who are very clear with what their message is, the better for everyone. Because then people jump on board, and they might not say that they agree. I mean, my thread is pretty awesome. It gets derailed sometimes, or it regresses to, you know, name calling and terrible things. But it's rare. But for the most part, people have varying opinions. There are anarchists, there are minarchists, there are conservatives, there are super Republicans, super liberals. There's a lot of fractions on there, and people like authentically try to explore and fight for their ideas.
This cartoonist owns the libs. Made by jimbob.com. Where can people find your book? Just madebyjimbob.com. It's in pre-orders. What's the status?
Yeah, it's pre-orders. Basically, it'll ship in May. It's a beautiful hardcover book.
I cannot wait. It's going to trigger so many people when they see it. If they're coming over to my house and they see it on my coffee table, the chances are that they already know that I'm full-blown libertarian. But if there's a chance I leave it by the toilet and some liberal shall wander into my abode, then hopefully they'll get an education. Madebyjimbob.com. Get your pre-orders. Check him out on Instagram. Madebyjimbob on Instagram. And do you have Twitter or anything?
No, I stay off of that.
Stay off of that. It's liberal wasteland. They wouldn't like your humor. You'd be banned in 2 days. It's too spicy. It's too funny. Really appreciate your time today. Ladies and gentlemen, Austin Peterson here. Thank you so much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast, ad made by JimBob.com. Check out his book, guys. I'm going to get a copy of it. Sounds like a lot of fun. It's nice to hear from other freedom fighters out there. And don't forget my brand new show starting April 15th. You can download the KWOS News app on your Android or iPhone so you can listen to my show starting on tax day, April 15th in Jefferson City, Missouri. A lot of fun, a lot of freedom fighting, and a lot of libertarian hijinks. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. You all have a wonderful evening.
The all-new Peugeot Partner Van, voted Van of the Year by Van Fleet World and International Van of the Year 2019. With so many awards, we're going to need a bigger van. To celebrate, visit your local dealer this March and test drive the professional partner and the even bigger expert and boxer at the Peugeot Van event. And with 0% APR for 2 years, that's definitely something to celebrate. Peugeot Motor Company PLC is a credit broker, not a lender. We'll introduce you to PSA Finance UK Limited, the finance provider. Conditions sale. Business users only. T's and C's apply. 18 plus finance update status. 20% deposit required.
Business owners, we know how hard you work for your business. At Santander, we think it's time you got something back. Get cash back with a new Santander 123 Business Current Account. It's business, but not as usual. Cash back up to £300 annually on credit turnover. Monthly fee £12.50 for UK-based companies with up to two directors, owners or partners aged 18+. T's and C's apply.